Last week we began the Mount Hebron inheritance, and we showed how the spies came down into the promised land. The first place they went was into the Valley of Eshcol, where Mount Hebron was. They went into the mountain. They brought the fruit of that mountain out to Moses, that fruit. It took two men to carry one bushel of grapes on the staff between two men. That's the loaded fruit of that mountain. We discovered where that fruit came from. It was the planting of the Lord 400 years previous to the spies going to the promised land. God had had his men of inheritance, the patriarchs of faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebekah, and Leah, all of them carrying the mantle and the blessing of generational inheritance. We looked at that blessing. We look at what God bestowed and spoke over them, and God buried that anointing into that mountain. All of them were buried in the Mount Hebron. Every one of them, that anointing, just like the bones of Elisha, when the dead Moabite hit those bones, he came alive. Well, that anointing was into that mountain. 400 years later, that mountain's producing fruit. It's producing harvest. It's producing agriculture, which was the mainstay economy of their day, agriculture. And they come out there and got a cluster. Say cluster. Well, you know, one of those clusters you pick up with your finger in the supermarket, they had to take two men to carry the cluster out because they were giants in the land as well. And you know the story, they offered up the evil report. Their sons and daughters got to go in. The rest died in the wilderness. We looked at Caleb and how he inherited, and he stood for that mountain in his heart for 45 years. He held that mountain. None of us have any right to complain about carrying a promise when Caleb carried it 45 years. And it wasn't his fault. He should have inherited it immediately because of his faith. Because he had to go back in the wilderness because of the unbelief of the nation. But he carried it. Never complained. Isn't that awesome? So he goes into the land of promise. He fights with Joshua for 5 years. And he petitions Joshua, give me this mountain. Joshua said, you know, the Anakims are there, the sons of Anak, the giants. Anak means to choke, collar, and chain. They were suffocating the promised land, sitting on God's inheritance. The devil does nothing new. All he does is counterfeit, steal, counterfeit, kill, and destroy. He doesn't have anything. He has no procreative ability. He just steals somebody else's. Everything he built, his whole system on stealing Adam's blessing, stealing man's dominion, thwarting the dominion of man. Everything he builds is off what God gave. So we're coming to get it back. Amen. And Caleb drove him out. Say, drove him out. I want to look at that scripture, and then we're going to begin because we're going to go into David today. It's very interesting where he drove them out. So go to Joshua chapter 15, if you would. Joshua 15. So Caleb gets his opportunity to draw his sword and walk into the promised land with the armies of God. Walk into Mount Hebron. He faced the giants off and took them down. You want the big blessings, you have to deal with the giants. The giants are not near as big if you're above them. They're only big when you're beneath them. They want you to live in, under the subjection of their systems. They want you to be intimidated by them. They want you to continually fill your heart with intimidation and fear. But see, the glorious thing is we've been raised above. And if you sit above only, if you sit in the right hand of God, if you sit in the glory, if you sit above the systems, you don't see them as giants. They're bred for us this day. Their defense is parted from them. You don't see them. You're only intimidated when you're under them. I am not under the systems of this world. I am not under demonic inheritance. I am under the inheritance of the right hand of God. When you live there, you're not intimidated. Hallelujah forever. Joshua 15, verse 13. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak. Arba was the father of all the giants, and Caleb took him down. This mountain belongs to those who understand God and do exploits, that know God, which is the city of Hebron. and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. He took them out. Say, he took them out. Man, you take out the strong man like that, you get all the goods. They knew where the blessing was. The promised land was a big land, but they were camped in that mountain. They walked around that mountain. They walked around that promised land. And they found the blessing of God. They found the favor of God. They were camping on it, saying, this is ours. And God said, no, it's not. The reason God could give them the promised land is he made a covenant with Abraham. The reason he could give Mount Hebron away, because he already planted Mount Hebron. That was his mountain. When he planted Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, all of them planted, carrying the blessing of generational inheritance. Caleb got the mountain. His sons and daughters got the mountain. See, when one man inherits, the sons and daughters inherit freely. Now, I want you to go to Joshua chapter 11, and we're going to begin. There's your review. Joshua chapter 11. Now, I want to know where Caleb drove these giants. So Joshua chapter 11, verse 21. At the time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains. Now, Caleb actually did that, but Joshua was the general, so he's just getting credit. It's from Hebron, Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel, Joshua destroyed them utterly. You got to utterly cut off the enemy. Verse 22, and there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Say none. 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 You know, we put up with way too much. Now, I want you to underline this next verse. Verse 22, only in Gaza. Only in Gaza. Only in Gaza and in Gath. See Gath? Gath. There remained. Gath is the one I want you to look at. Gath. Now, these giants were cut off. They were driven to Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. They were driven out. He cut them off, and the ones that survived went to Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. Now, that's very important because now there is another showdown that's about to happen. Amen? With the same giants, with a lineage of giants, there's going to be another showdown. So I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Remember King David? Remember the giant? He was 9 to 11 feet tall, by the way. You remember the giant David and Goliath? Do you know where Goliath was from? Gath. You know who his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers were? Anak, Arba, the three sons of Anak. When they were driven out, they went to Gath, and the giants remained and were allowed to continue to remain. And then their champion arose, and the Philistines made a league with him. Say, come and fight with us. And they made him his champion. They made Goliath their champion. From Gath, same giants, same DNA of the giants, and doing the exact same thing that the first giants did. Paralyzed a nation for the exception of two. Paralyzed an entire nation and kept them out of the promised land. They're on the field and Goliath comes out there. Let me just show you where he's from Gath. 1 Samuel 17:4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. They made him their champion, named Goliath of Gath. See that? That's important. That's the same giant, and he's doing the exact same thing as the first ones did. He is intimidating. One giant standing out there on the battlefield, intimidating the entire host because Saul was a weak, pitiful king. Just pitiful. He didn't know God. Had Samuel do all the fellowship for him. had Samuel inquire all the time. He didn't know God. And Goliath's out there intimidating the host, cursing the whole nation of Israel. And every soldier was paralyzed under the intimidation, just like the original 10 were paralyzed. But God had a shepherd boy that knew him. He come out there, delivered some cheese to his brothers and saw all the whining they were doing. Said, you want some wine with that cheese? Because you're doing a lot of whining out here. And he looks around all these guys and he sees this champion out there, Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? This is defying the armies of the living God, and the anointing of God rose on him. It takes another breed. It takes another man. It takes a faith. It takes somebody that knows God, and you want to inherit something. You want something out of heaven. It takes the caliber. You got to separate from the birds. You got to become an eagle. You got to know God. David was not among his brothers. He wasn't among them. He knew God. Everybody was intimidated, but David was not. Said, who is this uncircumcised? I'm going to feed your carcasses. You come out with me a sword and spear, I'll come with you to the name of the Lord. And this day I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air. Notice the way the man talked. The other ones were going. Saul goes, you need my armor? He put that on. He goes, man, what is this? You're not going to be able to wear somebody else's armor. You got to get it. He said, all I need is my sling and some stones. Because I'm going to take the rock of the word of God. He planted that rock in the forehead of that giant, and down he went. That giant was cursing him. He goes, I'm going to dog you. Come out with me with a sling and a stone. He goes, oh, don't worry. This sling and stone's plenty enough for you. 17-year-old boy staying against an 11-foot giant with a stone. He didn't even bring a sword out there. He said, I'll just take your sword and take your head off with your sword. Oh! What was going on? Yeah, David was qualifying. God was qualifying David because God had some plans. He said, somebody's going to get my mountain. Somebody's going to get crowned in my mountain. I'm looking for somebody worthy to inherit its glory, worthy to inherit its inheritance, worthy of it. I need somebody. But it's a mountain of faith. Think God's going to let some weak-minded person, after Caleb spent 45 years carrying that mountain in faith, God's just going to hand it over to somebody? It takes somebody of another spirit. It takes somebody with an anointing upon them. Somebody that knows God, that's worthy of this mountain. God had some plans, but he had to prepare David a little bit. So he went out in the wilderness, 13-year wilderness journey, while Saul was chasing him around. Man, David could stand against Goliath, but when you start standing against the religious spirit, it's a different story. The religious spirit, man, that one. I've been around that one. But it came time. David's time was coming. He was so tired. God said, don't ever leave the borders of Judah. Don't leave them. He was so tired, he went out beyond, went back in the Philistine territory. David did a lot of things. Rolled around, slothed all over himself, made him look like a madman so the Philistine lords wouldn't take him out. He got so tired, he went and camped at Ziklag. Said, this is it. That's what happens when you're going through the wilderness. Sometimes you just want to camp somewhere. Just, man, I'm tired, Lord. I'm going to camp over here. It's a nice city. It's going to be for me and my wife. We're just going to camp. I'm just going to camp. I'm going to camp right here. We're going to be happy. He was in Philistine territory. God said, Ziklag's not going to do. Let it burn. Let the enemies come in there and burn the city down. David was so tired, but he didn't know that he was 3 days away. His city got burned. Half his men couldn't even go to battle anymore. They were spent. You ever been there? Just spent. And they had to go recapture family and the children and all the goods. They had to go to war, and half of them couldn't go. And they went out and got it anyway. Recovered all. I mean, the men wanted to stone him. All that in your comfortable city of Ziklag. It's amazing what we put up with in Ziklag. Anybody ever been miserably comfortable? You're trying to settle somewhere. It's comfortable, but it's miserable. But, I mean, you don't want to come out. You ever been there? You got to come out of that city. If you don't, God will help you come out. Because you're not going to camp somewhere that God hadn't planned for you to be. You might have already prepared you a city, prepared you a little lifestyle, and God said, I have something better for you. You got some divine agitation going on inside of you. It is agitated. I can't get comfortable. I have everything, but I'm not comfortable. Because you're not in the city of rest yet. You're not where God wants you. If things are getting burned up around you, it's because you're not where God wants you yet. You hadn't been calibrated and aligned yet. Sometimes your enemies will help calibrate you. Sometimes your enemies will get you in alignment. Their city burned to the ground. David is going, oh my, bring me the ephod. The men wanted to stone him. All he knew was to get back in there with God. Man, he said, get the ephod. He began to worship God in the midst of all that. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Didn't tell him, you're 3 days away, David. Went and recovered all, sent gifts to all the elders of Judah. And he had no idea God was about to crown him in the mountain of inheritance. God was about to give him the mountain of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. About to give him the mountain of Caleb. God was about to do something extraordinary. He was about to create a paradigm shift in the entire known world. The David and Solomon generation that was going to affect kings and queens and nations of the earth before God was through. He was about to be raised up. The only ones ever added to David, 600 men that were distressed, afflicted, in debt, broken, backwards. Said, there's your congregation. They didn't start out as mighty men. They all started out with distress, debt, but they got under something. They got under something God, and God was about to give them an inheritance like no other inheritance.
2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass after this, David inquired of the Lord. He's back out of Ziklag. He's given the offerings. See, at the same time that Ziklag is being taken down, Saul is under attack too. Saul and Jonathan die by the sword. David gets delivered, and God is positioning him now to be king. He's going to inherit a king's. He's going to inherit the mountain of the kings. Watch what happens here. It came to pass after this, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go unto any of the cities of Judah? See, he knows something's happening. And the Lord said to him, go up. Say, go up. If you want God's city, you're going to have to go up. Well, you're on the line that. I like that. Go up. God's inheritance is up. And David said, whither shall I go? Well, where else would he send him? David did not start in Jerusalem. He started in Hebron. He said unto Hebron. David knew about Hebron. He knew about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He knew about Caleb. He understood Caleb's faith. He knew all that. Boy, he said, oh, my. Hebron? God said, yeah, boy, you qualified it for it 13 years ago when you took that giant down. He already qualified. Listen, you ought to write this down. Those who inherit this mountain will have to be giant slayers. Amen. If you're not a giant slayer, you're going to have to think about another city. because this one will always have giants on it. And he said unto Hebron, and David went up hither, and the two wives also. And this man that were with him did David bring up. Every man with his household, say every man with his household. Not only is David getting in on the inheritance, but every man with him is getting in on the inheritance. Sometimes God will assign you to somebody, and it won't be fun for a while. You might even want to stone that person that God assigns you to. Oh, yeah, all the men, bring them all up. Everybody gets to come. Everybody, because he's about to walk up into something that God planted a long time ago. Now, what's going to be so amazing about David was this, that not only did God plant that inheritance, a generational inheritance, multiplication, increase, I'm about to show it to you in a powerful way, but God had planted kings into that mountain. See, that mountain was in Judah. It was very specific. God was very, very specific in his planting of that mountain. Do you know that Judah was the mountain of all the kings? The lion of the tribe of Judah was the king of kings. All the kings came out of Judah. That wasn't just something arbitrary. That was specific planting of the Lord. Remember, we looked last week when Abraham was planted in there. His anointing was planted in there. Those promises were planted in there. There was something else planted. Go to Hebrews chapter 7, Melchizedek, or Melchizedek, however you want to say it. So you got to hang on and listen. Melchizedek's a heavy, heavy revelation. It's one of the heaviest, but there's power in this revelation. We got to go back for a minute to find out what happened with Melchizedek and Abraham, because something happened there. It has everything to do with this mountain. It has everything to do with David being crowned in that mountain. David's going to inherit something that God put inside of Abraham. David, did you hear me? Is going to inherit something that God put inside of Abraham. It's called generational inheritance. You don't have to always do it yourself. Sometime God has some mantles floating, waiting for somebody that's ready to handle that kind of anointing. You know, nobody has captured Solomon's mantle yet. I have not seen, except Christ said there one stands here even greater than Solomon. I have never seen someone capture his mantle yet. Now, I want you to put your finger in Hebrews 7. We're going to look at Genesis 14. And we're going to look at Hebrews 7 together. So keep your finger in Hebrews 7, open to Genesis 14. I want to know what was in that mountain. I want to know what was in Abraham, because what was in Abraham is in that mountain. And whatever's in that mountain, David's about to inherit. When God crowns you with an inheritance, you get all of the planting in it, all of the DNA in it. This is our generation is walking upon forefathers that went before us, restoring, till the fullness of DNA comes into. We don't build what the apostles and prophets built. We just get to get in on what they already built. We restore what they built. We restore what was built. They already built it. We restore it. Genesis 14, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. For he was the priest of the Most High God. Very rare breed of a man to be the king and the high priest. That's what we call the king-priest government. He's not just a king, but he also stands in the office of priest. He's operating under apostolic and prophetic mantles. He's operating under kingly mantles. When I speak about kings today, I'm not talking about going getting on the throne. I'm talking about somebody that moves into the marketplace. Kings carry authority. They carry authority with wealth. They carry governmental authority, spiritually, governmental authority. They carry great authority. They carry weightiness and they administrate wealth. Amen. And they do it God's way. But add the element of a priest with that and you have something very rare. A lot of people out there being kings, but boy, if the kings would ever learn how to be priests
and walk in the spirit, not do things just in the natural all the time. You're not going to get away with that in the last days, just being in the natural. You're going to have to be plugged into the spirit. You got to do things with the wisdom of God, not just the wisdom of man. You got to be able to hear God operate in the spirit, operating kingdom principles. You got to understand the right hand of God while you're transferring well.
Somebody say amen.
And he blessed him, verse 19, and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. You know what he was doing there? And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies in thy hand and gave him tithes of all. Melchizedek didn't tithe. Abraham tithe. Notice we said Abraham, blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Do you understand what was happening there? He wasn't just blessing Abraham. He saw the promise in Abraham. He saw Christ. He knew he was foreshadowing Christ as a king and a priest out of Jerusalem, because he was operating out of Salem at the time, which was Jerusalem. Melchizedek was the king and the priest, but he saw the promise inside of Abraham. And when he came to him, he blessed Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. He was talking to that seed in Abraham. He was talking to Christ inside of him, because Abraham was carrying it. Man, two men of God in the earth like that together. Wow. Come together. Melchizedek's spirit went off when he saw it. He says, Abraham, get over here. I got to bless you, because I'm carrying something. I'm forerunning. Now, you're going to have to listen to me. Melchizedek says, I'm forerunning. I am a king and a priest ordained of God himself. I didn't come out of a lineage of priests. I don't have a father or mother of the priestly lineage. I was called directly of God. I didn't inherit this. I was called by an oath. And I've got a kingly anointing in me, Abraham. And I got a priestly anointing. And I'm looking at something in your loins, and I'm about to bless your loins, Abraham. I'm going to release a kingly anointing inside you.
You know, I have a gift of revelation because I received it from my fathers. Now, I have a different message than they do, but I received the gift from them. You receive things through transference of the anointing. See, Melchizedek was carrying the king-priest government. The original king-priest was Melchizedek. Awesome man of God, foreshadowing Christ. Hebrews is about to reconcile that. The similarities of the priesthood. Christ and Melchizedek. Melchizedek releases that anointing. Now, go over to Hebrews. I want to look at it a little better, a little deeper. Why is this important? Because Abraham gets buried. Isaac gets buried. Jacob gets buried. Sarah gets buried. They get buried in the mountain. But they had something in them. You see, God had to plant the mountain. You know, when you plant the garden, you got to put the right seed in the garden. Abraham was the garden. He was the seed, so God was filling his seed up with all the stuff. Look, Abraham, the blessing of Abraham is going to come on the Gentiles, but I'm going to make sure your blessing, all of it's in you. Are you following me? God had to compact everything in there. God spoke to Abraham directly, but then he had his king priest come over there and release something. That's going to come out of that mountain later, because it got buried in the mountain. Kings are going to come out of that mountain because God buried kings in it, because it was in Abraham. Go back to Genesis. Go to Genesis 17. God didn't mention one time kings was going to come out of Abraham's loins until Melchizedek, a king, blessed him. Listen to me very carefully. You're going to have something come out of you by what somebody puts inside of you. You get under a 30-fold river, you're going to be 30-fold. You get under a 60-fold government, you're going to be 60-fold. You get under a 100-fold government, you're going to be 100-fold. You are going to be what you subject your spirit to. Your spirit's an open book to receive DNA. Watch whose DNA you're receiving. Don't just let anybody go lay hands on you. Amen. Now, you don't have to be legalistic about it. It's not like that when you have everybody in the church and everybody's laying hands. It's all covered. You understand that? But don't let just somebody arbitrarily come laying hands on you somewhere. Because you don't know what they're going to try to release on you. You don't know what they're carrying. Because they transfer. The anointing is transferable. good or bad? Oh, when I want somebody to lay hands on me, I'll ask them. Amen. Genesis 17, verse 1. Who lay hand on Abraham? Melchizedek. He blessed him. I'm going to show you that blessing in Hebrews. Hebrews brings it out a little more. But I want to show you what happens now that something released up inside of his loins. Look at Genesis 17. God's just beginning. He's just beginning. What he put in Abraham gets buried in the Mount Hebron. So it's important to know what's all in that mountain. Because one day that mountain's going to get transferred to you. It's not a little mountain anymore. It's a spiritual mountain. Christ inherited. Isaiah 65. I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, the Lion of Judah, inheritor of my mountains. Christ inherited it spiritually, and it all sits up in the right hand of God. When God sends his word, like he's doing right now about this mountain, he sends it, plants it in your spirit. And what I'm trying to tell you is there's 5,000-6,000 years of generational inheritance DNA in this mountain. It gets compacted in that word when he sends it in your spirit. You carry that DNA. You carry the faith of Caleb. You carry the kingly anointing of David. You carry what he buried up into Abraham, and it will release into the earth. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. He appeared unto him and said it. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I'll multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. When God appears to you, you will fall on your face. And as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham, father of many nations. For a father of many nations I've made thee. Verse 6, look at this. These promises are getting sown into him, which are going to get sown into Mount Hebron, which are going to get released throughout the generations. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings will come out of thee now. See that? Kings. Listen to this. Say, kings will come out of thee. Where do you think that came from? When Melchizedek put that anointing inside of him. When he released it on the inside of him. Not only Abraham. Notice what he says about Sarah right there. Verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt know me called Sarai, but her name will be Sarah. Shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. God planted it. Now go to Hebrews 7. Verse 1, for this Melchizedek, I call it Chesedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, king, priest, government. That's what we are. We're planting in the kingly anointing. We're planting in the priestly anointing, apostolic anointing, kingly anointing. We're planting all over, receiving, training, equipping. We have the DNA of our King of Kings that sitteth in the right hand of God. We have the DNA of our apostle and high priest of our confession seated at the right hand of God. When we sit with him, you get both the oils of the olive trees. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him. See that? Who blessed him? Melchizedek blessed Abraham. That's huge. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being interpretation king of righteousness. After that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So Abraham ties to him because Abraham, now get this, Abraham's talking to God face to face, but there is a man in his generation of greater rank than Abraham. Melchizedek was of greater rank than Abraham in the kingdom. Well, where do you get that from? I'm going to show you. That's what God needed, somebody of greater rank so he could release some. And Abraham ended up tithing to Melchizedek because he recognized that what he was carrying was less or inferior to Abraham. So he tithes upwards. Say tithing upwards. He tithed upwards. In the book of Hebrews, verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent. See that? Having neither beginning of days or end of life, made like the Son of God. Oh, yes. He's a king of a city, but he appears, poof, out of nowhere. God poofed him up. Abraham, poof. Walks in there, I'm a king, but I've been poofed up. I'm made like the Son of God. Well, Christ was born of a woman. Of course he had a father and mother. God just didn't poof people out of the air. Come on. He was talking about his priesthood. He didn't have a father or mother that he inherited the priesthood from a lineage without descent. His priesthood didn't come by descent. The high priest wasn't called by an oath under the Levitical priesthood. He was born that way. If he's born in a certain line of family, he is going to be the high priest. It has nothing to do with his works or anything. He's born by lineage. He's born by descent. But Melchizedek wasn't. Melchizedek was called of God by an oath. God called him not because he had a father and mother. He didn't inherit that priesthood. He got it by an oath from God himself. In the same way, Christ did not come out of the Levitical priesthood. He didn't inherit it by a father and mother. God called him by an oath. He called him outside Levitical priesthood. Even Carl brought that out one time. He said, you know, Christ couldn't even walk into the Holy of Holies, not in that temple. He had no right to be in there. He wasn't a Levite. He was of the tribe of Judah. So God calls Melchizedek outside of the lineage. He has no lineage. He calls him by an oath. You're a priest. And so he's liking in this chapter Melchizedek in Christ. He's reverting back. But he's about to say something very powerful, which I really like, which I want to share. About tithing. You'll really like this. Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. He's showing the superiority of Melchizedek's priesthood, because what he's saying, just as Melchizedek was superior to Abraham, Christ was superior to the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. He's going to keep on this line because Melchizedek had greater authority than Abraham did, which is just mind-blowing to me. Verse 4, now consider how great this man was, even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. Now here's where you're going to have to listen very carefully. I'm going to show you something that's going to blow you away. It's going to change the way you give offerings. Verse 5, for verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, their brethren, even though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Okay? Now, what does he say right there? Now, watch this. Now, he's talking about Levi. Now, what did he say about Levi? Levi was called to receive tithes of the people. Levitical priesthood, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay? Jacob's wives have a competition between themselves on how many sons they can birth. Boom, 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 boom. 12 between the two of them. All right? One of those sons was Levi. For the benefit of the MP3, I'm lining up men. Enrique's Levi. What Hebrews 7 is referring to is not this Levi. Because this Levi hadn't been called to the priesthood yet. He's just Levi. But his lineage is going to be called to the priesthood. So we have a 400-year gap. You remember Joseph goes over, all the family go, they grow up. They all go to Egypt for 400 years, so they're in Egypt, right? 400 years later, Moses comes along and says, time to deliver everybody out. Now, who he's delivering out is the 12 tribes, but these tribes have become into the millions now. Hundreds of thousands of people. 600,000 men, I believe it was. Okay, there's 12 tribes. One of those tribes is Levi lineage. That lineage is going to get called to a priesthood. They come through the wilderness, and God stops them in the wilderness and says, Levi's, now is my priest. You're a nation of priests. You don't get a land, you get everybody's land. Everybody's going to tithe to you. Everybody's going to give a tenth to you. Because you're going to be in everybody's land. You're going to be the priest of the land. And you're going to be called to receive tithes from everybody. Amen? Why is that important?
Because Hebrews is talking about that Levi 400 years later, not the one four generations from Abraham. Why is that important? Watch what happens. Ready? You have that image. Verse 4, now consider how great this man was, that even patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. For verily, they that are the sons of Levi, say sons, the 400 years later sons, who received the office of the priesthood in the wilderness, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. Okay? But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Who's he talking about? He whose descent was Melchizedek. He wasn't from Abraham. He wasn't counted among them, among the Levites, but he received tithes of Abraham. Abraham tithed and blessed him that had the promises. For without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. That's why I said to you, Abraham was inferior to Melchizedek. The less was blessed by the greater. Melchizedek blessed the loins of Abraham. But Abraham tied to him. But not only did Abraham tie to him, Levi tied. The priesthood tithe. Watch this. Verse 8. For here men that die receive tithes, but there they receive it from whom who witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say so, say on. Levi also, now he's not talking about the great-grandson. He's talking about the tribe of Levi. 400 years later, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Paid tithes in Abraham. Paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Let me give you an illustration. Remember Levi, 400 years later, when Abraham walks up to Melchizedek, when Abraham is the lesser, when he ties upward to Melchizedek, recognizing where he is, Melchizedek blesses his loins, but Abraham ties that priesthood inside of Abraham, that priesthood that was going to come 400 years later, they tithe. That means that when you tithe, your generations, we know at least the 400 years, are giving now. It's not just about us. We have generational blessing. God counts it all the way down. There's somebody in my loins that gave today. There's somebody in my loins that's going to pick up my DNA. And the more DNA you get in you, the more it's going to come out of you. But it's not just your natural loins anymore. It's your spiritual loins. What you got going on can get transferred. What I inherit, you inherit. Man, that's just powerful. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. That's heavy. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. So, all this is in Abraham. The king priest government's in him. The kings are in his loins. God put kings. When Melchizedek blessed him, he put kings in his loins. It's in his DNA now. Kingly anointing's in there. He gets buried in Mount Hebron. Caleb inherits the mountain. But now a king is going to be born in this mountain. It's the first time the mountain brings forth a king. God found the king worthy. And he says, this is your mountain, David. I crown you with all the DNA, with all the history. Eventually, David, I'm going to take you on to Jerusalem. And you're going to make the full circle from Melchizedek to Abraham to Mount Hebron, from Mount Hebron being crowned all the way back to Jerusalem. But right now, I just want you to be crowned with the authority and the multiplication of this mountain. Now, David, 13 years, never was able to ever grow past 600 men. He was capped. In 3 days, God's going to multiply him from 600 men to 348,000.
How'd you like to have a church of 348,000 in 3 days? The second that crown came upon him, that inheritance of that mountain released and went, pow! And the Holy Spirit started drawing them from one tribe to another, to another, to another. Men of war, men of stature, sons of Issachar with the signs of time. He brought the whole government underneath that mountain because a man was worthy to be crowned in it. Did you get that? 1 Chronicles 12, and I'm closing. It's going into the mountain. This is his crowning in Mount Hebron. Chronicles gives us a little bit more information. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 22. For at the time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready, armed to war, that came to David in Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him. God is going to give him an entire kingdom as soon as that crown went on his forehead. What he couldn't do in 13 years, he got by inheritance. It came by inheritance in 3 days. Say inheritance. 3 days ago, his whole city was burned. Now he's got a crown on his head. Now the inheritance begins to release from the mountain. The Holy Spirit goes to all and starts drawing the entire government to him. That's what happens when you get the crown. The government shows up. Somebody needs to be listening to me today. Then he starts listing the men. I'll do this quickly. Verse 24, the children of Judah that bear the shield and spear, 6,800. Verse 25, children of Simeon, mighty men of valor, 7,100. Verse 26, children of Levi, 4,600. Verse 27, Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, and with him 3,700. Zadok, the young man, mighty of valor in his father's house, 22 captains. Children of Benjamin, captains are coming, leaders are coming, kings are coming, mighty men of valor are coming. Children of Benjamin, the kindred of Saul, 3,000. Verse 30, children of Ephraim, 20,800 men of valor, famous throughout the house of their fathers. Look who's coming to Mount Hebron. Men of valor, men of stature. I mean, now the cream of the crop shows up. Before, it was the afflicted. Before, it was the distressed. Before, it was those that are in debt. Before, it was the outcast. Now the men of valor are showing up into the government because a crown that got put on his head. A mountain that God planted a long time ago is releasing its inheritance. Verse 30, children of Ephraim, 20,800. Verse 31, half the tribe of Manasseh, 18,000. Verse 32, children of Issachar, which were men that had the understanding of the times, the prophet showed up, 200. Verse 33, Zebulun, experts in war with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of a double heart. 50,000 men showed up that knew how to keep rank, that did not usurp authority. Whoa! God give it to us! Somebody going to qualify for this mountain. Somebody's going to get its inheritance. Somebody. It's going to release again. I'm telling you, the government's going to release again. Naphtali, verse 34, 1,000 captains. 1,000 leaders show up at the doorstep. Boom. And with them, shield and spear, 37,000. The Danites, expert in war, 28,000. Asher, such as went forth in battle, expert in war, 40,000. On the other side of the Jordan, the Reubenites and the Gadites, half the tribe of Manasseh. Boom, 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 120,000. All these men of war, verse 38, who could keep rank, came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all of Israel, and all the rest of Israel were of one heart to make David king. They showed up as soon as the crown came on his head. 348,000 men that knew how to keep rank, that would not break rank, expert, men of submission, men of high caliber. I don't know what this mountain's going to do, but I'm telling you it's going to release again. David could have never done that. Prove what he could do in the wilderness, slothing like a dog,
Boy, when he got crowned in this mountain, bam. Are you seeing the inheritance release? A king has done showed up in the mountain. Abraham planted it. The mountain brought forth a king and the inheritance, generational inheritance. Man, that's powerful. 3 days. In 3 days, what he couldn't do in 13 years. Maybe some of us are 3 days away. Maybe we're 3 days away. Maybe your city's been burned. Maybe you've had things stolen from you and taken from you. Maybe you don't know where you're coming in or going out. You might be 3 days away of being crowned with an inheritance that you couldn't even put a description on. Maybe the Holy Ghost is orchestrating it right now. Maybe he's already put that crown on your head. Maybe he's already gone out into the nations and started orchestrating your future. Maybe he's orchestrating the future of this center. Maybe he has somewhere else for us to go here real soon. Maybe it's our time for the crown. Maybe we've been through the wilderness of preparation. We've suffered under the hand of Saul. We've been rejected of the elders. But maybe it's time to have the crown put on. Maybe the kingdom will release. Taken from a man that was tending sheep, that suffered in the wilderness. But once that mountain came upon him, that inheritance and DNA of Abraham released. Now the blessing of Abraham comes on the Gentiles first. The blessing of Abraham was fulfilled in Christ. We get born again into a new kingdom, raised up in the right hand of God. And Christ has the same inheritance because he's already inherited the mountain. And he's freely giving it to those who are worthy of it. We wouldn't be preaching this if God had not called us to inherit it. We wouldn't be preaching this today if God had not called us to have it. We wouldn't be carrying it in our heart and carrying that constitution and carrying that mountain year after year after year after year, carrying it in the heart. Let the mountain release again, being prepared as the two-edged sword was dividing asunder soul and spirit, cutting out Ishmael, cutting out Amalek, cutting out the Eleazars until the heart was ready to inherit the mountain of the kings, the mountain of generational inheritance. Father, let that anointing release in this place. Let the mantle release. Let out of our belly floweth rivers of living water. Father, release the inheritance. Father, release the crowns. You were crowned with many crowns, Lord, because one of those crowns is ours. You inherited crowns for us today. Let the crown of God come over this place. Let the kingdom of God, let the kingly anointing, let the crown set down over this congregation. Let the crown of this mountain of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, Caleb, David, Solomon. Christ has given us the crown. You are our king that's been set on the holy hill of Zion because David took that inheritance and brought it to Jerusalem. Now that crown is again today, crown us. Cover us with the oil of the kings. Let the olive tree release its kingly oil again. Cover us in the king's oil. Cover us in the king's oil. Dwell in the midst of us.